o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. How you doing? Jim Davis along with Cake. Cake's great every day of the week, especially on a Friday.
Yes.
Morning, Cake. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well today. All right, so busy sports weekend.
Very busy.
The big one on Sunday night. Let's hope it doesn't disappoint.
Please.
Broncos. Yeah, please. Broncos at the Chiefs. Hear from Cody Rourke. We'll bring back our conversation with Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos podcast host. Get his thoughts about the Broncos and the Chiefs. Also, Ryan Kopp we had on this week that covers the Chiefs for Arrowhead Pride. Great stuff from both those guys. We'll have that coming up this morning. Also, Grand Junction Tigers boys basketball coach Isaac Madison. The Tigers getting an opening win last night at the Warrior Challenge basketball tournament. Kind of a rough night, though, for the rest of the Valley teams, but just the first game of the season.
That'll happen.
Play a time to bounce back. But Grand Junction with the victory last night as they knocked off Glenwood Springs 47-44. Dylan Chapman at 18 in that
one.
Yeah. So there's live coverage starting today at 3 o'clock with the pregame. You'll be out there, Tyler, along
yes.
with the Buckeye boy as well for all three of the Valley teams. Of course, the kind of the marquee game of the night is Central Palisade at 8 o'clock. Well, roughly 8 o'clock tonight right here on the team. So make sure you tune into that tonight if you can't get out to Central High School for the Warrior Challenge. So we have a lot to get to on the program today. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen? We'll have that coming up later on this morning. Score yourself some fat tire or Qdoba today by playing the game. So that'll be coming up later on, 8 o'clock hour. So big news yesterday as far as in-state college football. Steve Addazio, done as the head coach of the CSU Rams. So, some thoughts on that today. Would you like to see replace Steve Addazio if you're a CSU fan? Also today, keys to victory for the Broncos Sunday. Look, if they can do to Mahomes what they did to Herbert, which is make him uncomfortable.
Relentless pressure.
You know, that, and if this secondary can, particularly, you know, those inside linebackers and Justin Simmons, they can find a way to slow down Travis Kelce, then Denver's got a shot at winning this football game.
The thing that gives me a little bit of optimism, it was across the ticker this morning on Good Morning Football here in the studio. The Broncos have allowed the third lowest passer rating this year among quarterbacks, around 83. And Patrick Mahomes has had, I believe it said, 6 games this year with a passer rating under 90.
So you're saying there's a chance.
And that's the trick, right? Because the two things, and Mike Rice talked about it yesterday. I'm sure Cody Rourke had some sprinkling of this same sentiment, which is you're not going to win if you let Patrick Mahomes beat you. So how do you not let Patrick Mahomes beat you? Well, when he's on the field, you pressure him, you make him uncomfortable, you force him into situations that he doesn't want to be in, with especially with how young his offensive line is and still kind of not all together.
Getting better, though.
Getting much better.
That group is getting much, much better.
But still not quite where I'm sure Mahomes wants him to be. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is when you, the Broncos, are on offense, stay on the field. Long drives, run the football, wear out the defense, score, and not just field goals, although take what you can get at this point. And so that's going to be ultimately what it comes down to. If the Broncos can stay on the field on offense, defensively force Mahomes into uncomfortable situations, your chances of winning this game seemingly has, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Kansas City is nearly a 10-point favorite in this game.
Yeah.
9.5.
They have the second-ranked offense in the league, behind the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Whom the Broncos beat, just saying.
That's factual. That's not fiction. That's fact. Denver has the 9th-ranked defense coming in. But, you know, here's TB5. I mean, and it will come down to this for the Broncos.
Just had to score points.
last year when I was in Carolina, we faced those guys. They didn't punt to the fourth quarter. You know, they had one punt that game. And, you know, when you play a team like this, you got to get sevens. You got to score seven. And three isn't enough. So that's one of the things that stood out from last year.
Part of the reason they beat the Chargers, they scored touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't kick field goals. They didn't give the Chargers a chance to get it going and put seven on the board. You know, Denver's kicked two field goals, and they're up 6-0, and then the Chargers score a touchdown. They're up by a point. They were effective on third down. They scored in the red zone.
Right.
And that's what's going to have to happen Sunday. And look, the last time Teddy Bridgewater was at Arrowhead, it was pretty good. 3-10, a couple of touchdown passes, I believe a touchdown run in a 33-31 loss. It was a high-scoring game with the Chiefs last year.
Very high-scoring.
You know, but that was also, you know, nowhere near a capacity crowd, anything like that because of COVID.
No.
And we know how loud it can get at Arrowhead. And this will be Sunday Night Football, too. I mean, it makes the Deads even more
prime
more
time.
Juice. Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes is sort of the anti-Kirk Cousins in that regard, where he seems to do very well in primetime
man
games.
Likes the bright lights. He's that's why he's a superstar. That's why he's as good a player as he is.
We also would be remiss if we did not mention that Andy Reid, after a bye week, 19-3.
And Denver has an 11-game losing streak to this Chiefs football team. So a lot of things working against Denver, but there's some things certainly working for them. But your keys to the Broncos win on Sunday, so your thoughts about that. Who should replace Steve Addazio if you happen to be a CSU Rams fan?
I'm working on cutting up some audio of Joe Parker talking about the...
Okay, great. We'll have that coming up next segment. We'll talk about that a little bit. And also Cale Makar, another big game for Makar. Avalanche bounced back after just getting throttled.
Yeah, what the hell was
that? Yeah, Toronto's really good.
I know they're good. But
Austin Matthews, Tavares, they're really good. And they smoked the Avalanche the other night, but Avs on their north of the border trip, they slammed down a couple of cups of Tim Horton coffee and grabbed some Krellers, and they said, let's go get her, boys. Let's go out there and get them. And they did. Beat Montreal 4-1 last night.
Avs are good.
Yeah.
The Avalanche may be the only Colorado professional sports team that has a fighting chance of, I'll say, going further into the postseason than some of their other counterparts.
Yeah, right now the Nuggets, it's just weathering the injury storm. I mean, they just got to keep themselves in that, you know, that 8-spot, 9-spot for a while. Hopefully Jamal Murray is back before the All-Star break. You hope that's the case, not a guarantee, you know, but you're right. I mean, in terms of, you know, the Avalanche, they're even with, you know, look, it hasn't been the kind of start that Jared Bednar and the Avalanche had hoped for. I mean, lately they've been playing great.
Right.
But it wasn't a tremendous start. It was a sluggish, bad start.
It was.
Some ugly losses early on for the Avalanche. And, you know, that St. Louis game early on, you know, kind of sent them on a little bit of a tailspin. But the Avalanche of, you know, and then last night, or on the other night, Wednesday night, expecting, okay, it's a big matchup. Avalanche-Toronto, two teams playing great hockey, and Toronto just killed them the other night. But, you know, give the Avalanche credit for a nice bounce-back win against Montreal with a 4-1 win last night. So text or call us today. Some thoughts on who should replace Steve Addazio at CSU. Keys to the Broncos win on Sunday. Text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. All right, let's go ahead and get to...
What's happening?
All right, we start things out with the big news yesterday. Colorado State University terminating head football coach Steve Addazio. In two seasons, the Rams, Addazio went 4-12, 3-9 this year, 2-6 in the Mountain West. He was hired in 2019 to replace Mike Bobo, who got recently canned... his offensive coordinator position.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Athletic Director Joe Parker saying in a statement, the decision we have made today is not one we take lightly. The university says it'll start the search for a new coach immediately. There was Thursday Night Football last night. Dallas Cowboys taking on the New Orleans Saints, and the Cowboys able to snap their two-game losing streak. They knocked off the Saints 27-17 last night. Dak Prescott, 26-40, 238, touchdown and a pick. Tony Pollard, 7 carries, 71 yards and a touchdown. And Ezekiel Elliott, 13 carries, 45 yards. You can tell how much that knee is really bothering Ezekiel Elliott. But the Saints, they went Taysom Hill at the quarterback spot last night. 264, 2 touchdowns. You're saying, hey, that's pretty good. Good job by Taysom Hill.
Not bad for a guy who supposedly can't play quarterback.
Then he threw not one, not two, not three.
Oh, no.
But 4 interceptions. But he did rush out for 101 yards last night.
4 interceptions. So 4 interceptions, 101 rushing yards. Taysom Hill or Lamar Jackson?
As far as
4 picks and the ability to run the football are concerned.
Yeah, he, like Taysom Hill going back to his BYU days, I mean, always had that, you know, that dual threat ability. Then he had a couple of really awful knee injuries.
Right.
And, you know, they're spending a lot of money on Taysom Hill for him to be a receiver, backup quarterback, now starting quarterback. And, well, this is going to be a long audition to see if Taysom Hill is the guy going forward.
So far, not great.
Because they lost 27-17 and threw 4 picks last night. Mark Ingram had just 28 yards. Montgomery had 21. Deontay Harris had 3. I mean, Taysom Hill was clearly the offensive catalyst, but he's also the turnover machine last night as well. Saints dropped to 5-7. Cowboys are now 8-4 after the win last night. Speaking of the Broncos, we're moving on to the Broncos. They have activated left tackle Garrett Bowles off the reserve COVID-19 list. Also back at practice, fellow tackle Bobby Massey. Both guys expected to play, or at least be available for Sunday's game in Kansas City. Running back Melvin Gordon held out of practice yesterday, shoulder problem. And right now 50-50, though there are some reports saying that he won't play Sunday against the Chiefs. Whatever the case may be, if Gordon is out, Mike Boone will be the backup to the beer truck, Pookie, to rookie Javonte Williams. So after being named the NFL's Defensive Player of the Week, Broncos cornerback Patrick Surtain II has been named the NFL's Rookie of the Week. He had his best game so far in his rookie campaign, getting a couple of interceptions off Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. One was taken back 70 yards for a touchdown. After getting hammered in a loss at Toronto, do you have the Avs music over there for me, by the way?
Oh, I think I do.
Actually, I got it right here. I can get it, too, if you didn't have it already.
I just had it right as you started.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I just didn't know if you had it or not.
It's more efficient if it's over there.
Okay, well, the Avalanche, well, we only play it when the Avalanche win. After getting drilled in Toronto, the Avalanche regrouped with a 4-1 win at Montreal last night. Colorado defenseman Cale Makar's hot scoring streak continued as he scored the go-ahead goal, while goalie Jonas Johansson bounced back after giving up 8 goals to the Maple Leafs. Johansson made his second straight start after Darcy Kuemper was injured in pregame warmups at Toronto. So the Avs getting the win last night. Moving on to Colorado Mesa sports, the season comes to an end for the CMU volleyball team. The Mavericks lost to the University of Texas Tyler 3-1 at the South Central Region Tournament at the Rare Events Center at Metro State. CMU's Holly Schmidt had 16 kills. The Mavs finished the year with a 21-7 record. The Colorado Mesa men's soccer team, they're playing in Super Region 4. Unfortunately, the same fate falling to the Maverick men's soccer team. They lost a top seed Cal State LA on an overtime golden goal. Mavericks finished the year 16-3-2. It was a rough opening night for the Grand Valley boys basketball teams at the Warrior Challenge Tournament at Central. Grand Junction was the lone winner with their 47-44 win over Glenwood Springs. Dylan Chapman scored 18 points with Reese Skinner adding 15 in the win for the Tigers. They face Centaurus at 3:30 today. You can hear that game on the Team Sports Network. Fruitland Monument new head coach Jake Higuera opened up with a 56-44 loss to Horizon. The Wildcats' Skylar Johnson led the way with 18 points as Fruitland plays Castleview at 6:30 tonight on the team. Palisade and their new head coach Corey Hitchcock lost to Centaurus 58-42, with Donovan Mestis leading the Bulldogs with 10 points. Palisade plays Central tonight at 8 o'clock on the Team Sports Network, and Hitchcock says his guys are excited about taking on their East Valley rivals.
It's a cool experience for the kids. You know, I'm excited to kind of be in that kind of environment. I think it's going to be a good battle, and I'm excited for our guys just to get an opportunity to compete.
Host Warriors lost to Castleview 72-49 with Braylon Scott hitting for 13 points. And likewise for the Warriors, head coach John Sedanich says they always enjoy that matchup with Palisade.
Corey's a great coach. They do a lot of similar things to what Clay did. Lots of pressure. They do, you know, they do extend full court. We've got to handle the ball and don't turn it over. It'll be a long night.
Another boys game, Cedar Edge beat Durango 56-53. The Fruit of Monument girls basketball team opened the season with a 67-20 win over San Juan, Utah at the UNA Utah tournament. Jillian Buck, 16 points, led the Wildcats. They play Emory, Utah today at 1 o'clock. Cedar Edge beat the Durango girls 34-26. And that's a look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name in automobiles. Got some thoughts about the keys to the game for a Broncos win Sunday at Kansas City. Also, who should replace Steve Addazio as the Rams' new coach?
We will have Joe Parker audio.
Okay.
Now that it's actually working and Adobe isn't crashing on me.
Yay! Yay, technology.
Love it.
You know, I had my reservations about Steve Addazio initially.
I kind of did, too.
Like, you know,
there seemed to be a lot of baggage coming out of his old job at Boston College. Seemed like he wasn't really a well-liked fellow. And look, head football coaches, let's just be honest, some of them, not always nice guys. Some of them are...
Brian Kelly.
We're going to talk about him for sound check in just a second. Okay. But you know, there's head coaches that are mean but produce wins. There are coaches that are not mean that also produce wins. And then there are coaches that are mean and don't produce wins. And coaches that are not mean and also don't produce wins. Addazio falls into that, in my opinion, third category, kind of mean, kind of a Delta Bravo, and doesn't really win all that often.
You know, his players are saying they'd go to war for him. I'm glad that, you know, they have that kind of support of him. But for CSU, I mean, by the way, Mike Bobo, by the way, was Auburn's offensive coordinator. He got canned at Auburn. The Rams have now committed $6 million to coaches who don't coach for them anymore. Think about that.
I believe we call that the Colorado University Buffaloes approach to head coaching hires.
Because now the Rams have to pay Addazio $3 million, divide in equal monthly installments over 3 years, unless he finds another coaching job. Now, if that happens, according to the Post, his salary from that job will be subtracted from what CSU owes him.
Which, and let's just be perfectly honest, he's going to find a new head coaching job, because what else is he going to do?
Sure, somebody else will hire him. Of course they will.
I mean, look at the turnover that's going on right now. You know, Kelly going to LSU.
There will be, even if it's, you know, a group of five, some Sun Belt team, somebody will hire him. Somebody will hire him.
The Sun Belt.
Conference USA, what's left of Conference USA. There'll be some program that will hire Steve Addazio. I mean, he'll get another job. And it just seemed... I don't think he lost the faith of his team. Sounds like his team, his players loved him. It sounds like he lost the confidence of administration. He lost the confidence of Rams fans. But I just think it's so interesting how this year has turned, where started out just getting, you know, crucified for the loss to South Dakota State, losing to an FCS school.
Right.
Which was a...
That's a bad loss.
Well, it was also a school that played for the national championship at the FCS level, and you know, it's not the first time a FCS school, North Dakota State's done that before, taking down a Division I program. But then they went on a little bit of a winning streak. They got the win, I believe it was at Toledo, and I think Sean Keeler in the Post wrote the article about, hey, guess what? Hey, Colorado, you could take a page out of what Steve Addazio's doing,
right. You
know, at Fort Collins right now. And then, boy, that tone changed in a heartbeat. And so here we are with the Rams, once again, on the hook, paying for somebody to not coach for them. And, like, I was never a huge Steve Addazio fan. I don't know if this is the right decision or not. It wasn't a good look at Nevada. I mean, for him, the Nevada game, for him to get ejected. I mean, something that never happens, where a football coach gets tossed from a game. But now I think, you know, the people that are writing about Joe Parker and the criticism of Joe Parker, I think that's fair. I mean, this has been on Joe Parker's watch.
Right.
And now you're paying another guy not to coach your football team for for a place like Colorado State, $6 million is a lot of money. It might be, you know, lunch money at LSU or, you know,
Bama
or Clemson or whatever, but not at Colorado State, not a Group of Five program, and not even an upper echelon Group of Five program.
At best, mid-tier, if and when they do get, you know.
And so you've managed to screw it up, Joe Parker, quite a bit here the last few years in regard to who you hire. And it'll be interesting to see where this goes. And we'll talk about some of the candidates coming up, some of the names that are already surfacing on this whole thing. So if you got some thoughts on that today, text or call us, 970-242-1340. So keys to the Broncos win on Sunday. Who do you think should replace Steve Addazio? Anything that's on your mind today, too? I mean, it's always, if you got something you want to comment on today in the world of sports, send it to us today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We will take a break. We'll come back, mix a little Steve Addazio talk, replacement for him at CSU. Avalanche with a really nice win last night in Montreal, knocking out the Canadiens. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show. They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 725. Jim along with Tyler Franson. Who is this, by the way?
You'll never guess.
Oh, boy. I have no idea who.
Brand new for 2021, Guns N' Roses.
Get out of here. I'm like, man, it sounds like it's GNR. Could be Velvet Revolver.
This is brand new Guns N' Roses with...
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps.
With Slash, and I believe it's Duff.
Yeah, because so, those guys all got back together because I got to go see them at
Mile High.
High back, thanks to my son buying tickets. That's a wonderful Christmas present, which he also got to enjoy too because he went with me.
Yeah.
But wow, new album? We're gonna get a new album?
I don't know for sure, but this is the new song they put out called Hard School, spelled S-K-O-O-L.
Okay. Oh, so, how clever.
Very clever. So there you go. New Guns N' Roses coming out.
I like it. I do. I like it a lot. I will have to do a deeper dive on that at some point. Very good. All right. Joe Parker's doing a deep dive, not on the Guns N' Roses catalog, but on...
Who's going to be his next head coach?
Well, welcome to the jungle, right? Because it's been from Steve Fairchild to Jim McElwain to Mike Bobo to now Steve Addazio, guys that, you know, have all been there trying to replace the legendary Sonny Lubick. You think about, okay, Sonny, in the time that he was there, it was a great 15-year run.
Mm-hmm.
182 and 108, 9 bowl bids, 4 double-digit win seasons. Since then...
Not so much.
Steve Fairchild, 16-33. Jim McElwain.
He was pretty good.
He was the best of the bunch. 22-16, 2 bowl bids. And he went 10-2 in his last season before he went to Florida, got canned. Mike Bobo, 28-35. They did go to 3 bowls. And then Steve Addazio, obviously, 4-12, and done. So some names have, you know, popped up in the potential coaching search at CSU. Let's start out with a name that came up the last time. Tony Alford, Ohio State assistant head coach, running backs coach. What I thought they should have hired the last time.
Right.
You know, younger coach, youngish guy. Guy with ties to the program because he played running back at for the Rams, 87-90. Really good running back. And was a finalist for the 247sports.com National Recruiter of the Year back in 2011. He was on the Rams shortlist for both times, from when they hired Mike Bobo and when they hired Steve Addazio. They instead hired those two guys. Alford makes a lot of sense. Now, will Tony Alford stay there forever? And there's been some debate whether or not he wants to leave Ohio State now that he likes it there and but just soon stay there. We'll see what happens. And we'll, or right. will he go, look, you passed on me twice. To hell with you. I don't want to be, as much as I'm an alum and I'd love to come back and coach at my college football alma mater, you passed on me twice and I'm done with you. We'll see what happens there. Also, the name Billy Gonzalez has popped up. He's the Florida Gators passing game coordinator, wide receivers coach. Another guy that played at CSU. He played with Tony Alford from Thornton as well. Was with Urban Meyer at Bowling Green and then at Florida. And he was actually there when Adazio was at Florida, too, with Urban Meyer. Because remember, Herb's a guy.
Right.
Hey, you got to hire Adazio. Got to hire Daz, man.
Yeah.
Got to hire this guy.
How will that work out?
And stop listening to Urban Meyer, Parker.
How well is it working for you now, Urban Meyer, in Jacksonville?
Yeah, exactly. Alex Grinch, USC defensive coordinator. He's the kind of guy we talked about the other day, the Buckeye boy and I talked about. Younger guy, head coach. You're not going to have him forever. Maybe 3-4 years, maybe, if you're lucky. And then it's rinse and repeat, and you look for the next young up-and-coming guy.
Yeah, you're not...
He fits that profile.
You're not building a long-term culture with that. Maybe you set the stage, but you're not going to have, like you said, you may only have him for 3 or 4 years. So a freshman recruiting class that he brings in isn't probably going to finish out with him as their head coach by the time they become juniors or seniors.
You know, another name, a couple of names that have come up, Kevin Wilson, Ohio State offensive coordinator. He was, remember, Indiana's head coach. It didn't go well there, but maybe a second turn at being a head coach. Matt Lubick. Oh, stir the echoes of Sonny, his dad. Matt Lubick, you know, now ex-Nebraska offensive coordinator, receivers coach. Never say never on that situation. Zach Azani, Broncos wide receivers coach. You know, he's helped to develop, obviously, you know, worked with Jerry Jeudy,
Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, so would he want to leave the Broncos and be a head coach in the NFL? A head coach in the college football ranks?
The trick is, what do you have at CSU that you would definitively on the field characterize as a strength? Is it defense? Is it offense? Are they not great in either category?
The defense got better this year.
Defense definitely got better, and I think at one point, I think their defensive unit was ranked pretty substantial in terms of total FBS. And that's, you know, that's fine, right? So that tells you, okay, do you want to then build on the strength of what you already have and bring in, let's say, for sake of argument, a defensive-minded head coach? Or do you say, well, the offense, being what it is right now, we need an offensive-minded guy to be the head coach to fix the problem? That's kind of the position that Joe Parker and the rest of the CSU athletic department is going to have to grapple with. Because if you're bringing in an offensive guy to fix your offense and bring in, you know, top-tier recruits, I mean, they had the chance at bringing in 3-star Colorado recruit Luke McAllister.
Luke McAllister. Yeah, the Palmer Ridge kid.
Palmer Ridge kid who was there for barely a semester and then put his name into the transfer portal. And then, I believe, went to either a D3 or a junior college program.
I think he went junior college route, if memory serves me correctly about him. Colorado State's 65th in defense. Total defense.
Total?
That's not horrible. That's not
midway.
Not great. It's not fantastic.
Because there's, what, 130?
130.
So they're
looking at
in
you,
the middle.
Duke, with the worst defense in college football.
Hey, Duke, how you doing?
Yeah. But on the hardwood, they're still pretty darn good. Well, except for the loss to Ohio State. But they did take down my Hawkeyes the other night. So.
Oh, our boss, Dave Beck.
Oh, yeah.
Duke fan. Buckeye boy was giving him a little
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I steered clear of that conversation. I'm like, you're
poking a bear.
You're trudging
here
into very deep water there. I'm just gonna steer clear of that. But a name that's also on this list from the Denver Post, Jim McElwain, who's currently at Central Michigan.
The wrong CMU.
The the wrong, sorry, you know, no offense to those fine folks at Central Michigan, but yeah, it is the wrong CMU. And the comment is, you know, jokes aside, the Rams could do worse than turning to an old friend again. They're kind of right about that comment. I mean, could they really, is Jim McElwain, would he be a terrible decision to bring him back to Fort Collins? Can you say, hey, all's forgiven, you know, about you bolting and going to Florida and all that? I mean, during this recent stretch of, you know, coaches, those trying to replace the great Sonny Lubick, he's been by far the most successful.
Because he was, you said what, 22-16 was the record for
his number during his time at CSU. McElwain, 22-16. They went to 2 bowl games.
Look at that.
Good job. You remembered.
That's it for the memory bank today.
That's it. You're shot. I like Alford a whole lot. I think he would be a good choice. Alex Grinch, if you're looking at, you know, youngish coach, if you will.
You're a mean one.
Jeff Traylor, the Texas San Antonio head coach. You know, that program has been pretty darn good. UTSA's development, that was a program that didn't exist a few years ago.
Right.
And Traylor was at Texas and at Arkansas. And they've been 18-6 with him as the head coach. But will he view going to Colorado State, though, as a move up, or is it kind of a lateral move? Or is it a move down? If you want to recruit Texas, he would make a lot of sense for you. If you're looking to get into that fertile recruiting country,
right,
which our good friend Tremaine Jackson's working these days hard for CMU, for our CMU, that would make some sense. So here's Joe Parker, CSU athletic director, on the firing of Steve Addazio.
Today, always a tough day. You know, I think a lot about our student athletes and the impact this will have on them. They've put an incredible amount of effort into trying to create success in the football field. And in so many ways, I think they've distinguished themselves by, you know, really creating a culture of toughness and accountability. And I'm proud of them in so many ways. And it was apparent when we met with the team this morning that, you know, these decisions land with impact. I'm thinking about them and encouraging them to keep their focus on CSU and what's ahead. And they need all the support they can get, particularly from those in the community that care about CSU football. Next, I think about Coach Addazio. You know, these decisions are hard. It's never fun to change the trajectory of other people's lives. Fort Collins is a great place. They were loved, you know, this part of the community, and so there's change there for them that they've got to deal with. Appreciate the work and effort that they put into the time that they're here at CSU.
All right, so there's Joe Parker.
There's something in there that kind of rung a weird bell for me when he's talking about Addazio and his staff saying they were, and then something about loved by the community. I think what he meant to say was they, as in the staff, loved Fort Collins, not the other way around.
Right.
Because it seemed to me that part of the reason that this even took place, that Addazio is no longer the coach, is because Fort Collins didn't embrace him.
And that's what I said earlier, that it's not that the players seem to like Steve Addazio. That didn't seem to be the problem. It seemed to be Rams fans and all the no-shows. That's what Joe Parker looked at more than anything, more than wins and losses. It was, or even, you know, the whole mess, remember how they botched the whole COVID situation?
It's not good.
That it was about the reaction from Rams fans and all those empty seats at Canvas Stadium. You know, it's still a relatively new, you know, stadium that people are saying, I don't like this guy. I'm not going to go out and watch him coach this football team. I don't like what I'm seeing here. And according to the Post, Joe Parker spent about 30 minutes in a meeting with Rams football players before they announced the dismissal of Steve Addazio. And you had one of the linemen who took to Twitter, defensive lineman Scott Patchen, "I'll go to war for this man. I'm forever thankful to Coach Addazio. I won't tolerate slandering of him because you guys didn't see the uphill mountain he had to climb when taking this job. The passion and drive he had every day are the qualities you want in a leader." And you also had senior running back Marcus McElroy enter the transfer portal as a grad transfer. I think a good amount of people on the team had bought into the culture. From my perspective of being in it, I can't act like everything was bad. Addazio came in and made decisions that were not only for the betterment of the program, but for the players. A good portion of it was working. It was a good thing that he came in and did some of the things that he did. But there were definitely some things that even he and the coaches would know just didn't work out the way they planned.
Interesting.
So a little bit of fence-sitting there from McElroy in that, yeah, there was a lot of good things he did, but yeah, there was some stuff that didn't work out.
And I'm not going to, you know, that's the answer he has to give. Like, what other choice does he really have?
Yeah. My take is this. I wasn't a fan of the hire to begin with, but when you're now on $3 million on the hook for him, maybe you should give him one more year. But at this time, but you made the decision. You've parted company with him.
You have made your bed. You must now lie in it.
And so, you got to get this right, Joe Parker. Whether it's Tony Alford, you bring back, you know, Jim McElwain, whoever. Sonny Lubick, you know, says, hey, look, I'd like to coach again. Don't think that's going to happen.
Probably not.
But you got to get it right this time. You can't pay another couple million dollars to somebody else to not coach your football team.
No.
And you're Joe Parker. You don't have that kind of money to spend. All right, very quickly, I want to get to the Avalanche last night. Just got absolutely throttled the night before in Toronto. But last night, they go to Montreal and get a 4-1 win. Cale Makar has been red hot. Cale Makar with a goal last night for the Avalanche. And he was asked about, do you think you could maybe be a 30-goal defenseman? Here's Cale Makar.
I don't know if that is a possibility. That's a stretch. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's going to be too many streaks like I just had with a couple goals every night. But at the same time, I want to contribute offensively. So I'll look for those chances when they arise. But I'm definitely not seeking out to be a 30 goal scorer defenseman. It'll come if our team's playing well. So.
All right, so Darcy Kuemper didn't play again last night. With the upper body injury they sustained in warm-ups at Toronto, Jonas Johansson got the start in that one and just got slaughtered.
He was wrecked.
Saved 33.
But
gave up 8 goals, 41 shots, and the Avalanche's lost to Toronto. So last night against Montreal, a little better. 20 saves last night. 4-1 victory. Here's Johansson on a much better second NHL start.
Yeah, it feels really good. You know, I mean, last night was last night. I don't think anyone was happy with that game, including me. And so, yeah, really nice to come back and get the 2 points tonight and take it from there.
All right. 7:41. Jim along with Cake today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. It's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Cake?
Brian Kelly was introduced the other day as the new head coach of the LSU Tigers. Speaking to a crowd of fans at LSU's basketball arena, he was getting them hyped up for his hire. This is the thing. Brian Kelly, he is a native of Everett, Massachusetts, which is not in the South. So why?
Huh?
Why is Brian Kelly using a Southern accent when he's getting the crowd hyped up at LSU?
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
A little bit of it, yeah, a little bit.
Family.
Family.
Which was not how he said the word family at his I'm leaving Notre Dame presser or what meeting. So,
it was an 11-minute meeting.
That's what I don't understand is, because, you know, Southerners have great pride in being Southern.
Right.
So if you go to the South and you start imitating them, in front of them.
Well, like,
how do you not expect to be run out of the building at that point?
You know, right now, I think they don't give a rip. I think they have him. They think that he's going to get them back to where Orgeron took them to a national championship.
That's the hope.
And I think they don't care if he wants to. He can talk however he wants to talk. I know what you're saying, though. I mean, it's tough to follow. Follow Coach O, Coach Ed Orgeron.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. That's got tough to follow that up on Baton Rouge. At least he didn't do that. At least he didn't go out.
At least he didn't do an Ed Orgeron impression.
So good. The Kelly family is so happy to be here.
I'm Brad Kelly.
I want to do some crawfish. Go Tigers. All right, 7:44. Take a break. We'll come back. Colorado Mesa basketball. Saturday and Sunday, which is just weird.
It is.
But that's the schedule this weekend at Colorado Christian tomorrow, and then at Metro State on Sunday. We'll hear from Taylor Wagner, coach of the Maverick women. They're off to a 5-0 start. As he's ready to head to the Front Range, take on the Cougars tomorrow. We'll have that coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 7:48. Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. Keys to the Broncos' victory on Sunday. Sunday night football right here on the Team when they take on the Chiefs. Kickoff at 6:20 for that. Before that, we'll have a Maverick basketball when they take on Metro State. But it begins tomorrow at Colorado Christian for both Maverick basketball teams. And coverage tomorrow starts at 1:15 for the women, followed by the men. And have the chance to catch up with CMU women's basketball coach Taylor Wagner after a very successful weekend at the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic. Taylor Wagner joins us. Taylor, how are you?
Doing good. How are you guys?
Doing fine. Did you realize you were 18-0 at the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic until, well, Dave Yonke, your SID, mentioned that in the game the other night, that you were 18-0 in that tournament?
I hadn't thought about it. But now looking back, no, we haven't lost.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, but you're the kind of guy that's like, yeah, that's nice, but it doesn't win us a conference title. I mean, some coaches might put more stock into that, but you're like, yeah, you expect to win at home. You expect to be dominant at home, and you have been dominant at Brown Center Arena, so it's not a big shock to you, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, usually when we talk about goals at the beginning of the year, you know, that's kind of at the top of our list of not losing at home and kind of protecting our home floor. We just feel like we should never be outworked on our own floor. That's where we work every day, so we should be familiar with that court.
Well, you wrapped up the weekend with a really good win against Montana Western. They were the number 24 team in the NAIA ranks. They had won a national championship a couple of years ago, and a basketball team with Brinley Fitzgerald, really good player for them. She finished with 17 points the other night. But you guys came out of the gate hot. Savannah Domgaard, who had the four threes in the first half. I believe she had the three threes in the first quarter. Boy, she got you off on a really fast start in that game on Saturday night.
She did. I think her able to hit those shots kind of set the tone. Our defense picked up really well. And then to see the ball go in, which has been a struggle for us this year from the three-point line, I think it, you know, gave some kids some confidence. And then it opened up the floor, too, you know, for other people to get in the lane because they're worried about the three-point shot.
Taylor Wagner, coach of the CMU women's basketball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. Mariah Martin, the Westminster transfer, she had by far her best game as a Maverick after transferring 23 points. She had 6 rebounds the other night. And I thought, boy, that free throw line jumper, time and time again, when the Bulldogs made a little bit of a run on your team, Taylor, she come down the floor, you know, pull up jumper from the foul line was, you know, money in the bank. It seemed like time and time again in the game on Saturday.
Yeah, that's her shot, you know, and she's good at getting all the way to the basket too. She uses her body so well, and her 3-point shooting's coming along. So, you know, we're gonna need her, and she's got to be that leader on the offensive floor, and I like it because she can score. But she's great at finding her teammates and making the right pass at the right moment.
Yeah, I mean, she had a great all-around game. She had 6 assists along with the 6 rebounds, the 23 points. She was named the RMAC Offensive Player of the Week. And, you know, the perfect compliment, was, as we've talked about, to Danny Turner, who had herself an outstanding game and could have very well been maybe the RMAC Player of the Week as well. Double-double, 15 points, 12 rebounds for Danny the other night and a couple of steals.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it helps Danny being on the wing, and I think she's more comfortable there. But I mean, her rebounding is one thing we talked about earlier in the year. We just need someone that, you know, kind of like Sid Brandon, where she'd go get a rebound, and we talk about rebounding out of your area and, you know, chasing it down. And Danny's done a really good job of just elevating and going up over everybody and coming down with rebounds, and that's gonna help us win some ball games if she can continue to do that and take pride in that.
Taylor Wagner, coach of the CMU women's basketball team, with us on the Team Sports Network, and Kylie Kravig, who played over at University High School over in the Greeley area. She had 10 minutes the other night on the floor and came in and did a nice job playing some really good defense, getting on the glass a little bit. Freshman that seems like you got some confidence in here early on in the season.
Yeah, she, you know, she's someone that just plays with her heart every play, and I think each game she's going to get a little bit better and more comfortable out there. But, you know, she's kind of fearless when she's out there, and that's what we need from those freshmen, just to come in and you know, give us a lift, and especially with her energy. You know, she likes to do all the little things. She likes to set up her teammates. She likes to play defense. She gives us another ball handler. So she's going to be someone that is really going to improve over the year and then be a good player for us for her career here.
Taylor Wagner, coach of the CMU women's basketball team. Mavericks off to the 5-0 start as they get ready for conference play on the road Saturday and Sunday. First, we'll talk about Colorado Christian. And look, with Christian, they're coming off a game where they played a really good Western Washington team, Taylor, 13th-ranked team in the nation, where they lost 58-51, close loss in that game. And a season for the Cougars, where right now they're playing 500 basketball, but that's the kind of game where they can kind of build off of that heading into the conference opener with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, all three losses are against top 20 programs. So and they've been right close with all of them, so they're a good team, and they've got a bunch of Division I transfers in there, and they're really big, and you know, they got a new coach, and she's getting them to play hard, so that's going to be a tough game for us, a tough environment. You know, this whole weekend, I mean, both teams are really big, and so our rebounding's going to have to be really good, as well as our post defense.
Taylor Wagner, coach of the Colorado Mesa women's basketball team, will have Maverick basketball tomorrow. Both teams at Colorado Christian. Women's pregame at 1:15 with a tip at 1:30. Then the men will follow after that. Just a reminder, we'll have Nuggets basketball tomorrow morning. Brunch with the Nuggets. Pregame at 10:30 with Jason Kosmiski, Mark Bertinoli. And then 11 o'clock tip off the Nuggets in New York to take on the Knicks. And then following Maverick basketball on Saturday night, we'll have the Big Ten championship game, Michigan taking on Iowa. So a lot of sports tomorrow. College basketball, NBA basketball, and college football coming up tomorrow on the Team Sports Network. All right, Jim along with Cake today. Next hour, a chance to play. Where in the world is Tyler Franzen? That's coming up next hour on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Check us out online at theteam1340.com.